for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 12th Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, February the 17th, 2008. Jean Fisher is the speaker of this service teaching on Love People.
Well, did anybody receive anything from the Lord this weekend? That's been so good. I just learned so much. I received some words from the Lord and deliverance, but I just learned so much. I just felt like a sponge from the moment I got here. I don't know what it was. It's special this time for me. Just, I guess it's just where I am. You know, the Lord does different things in your life at different times. And I'm really grateful. And I was telling Laverne, I said, these are my notes. You see the little scratchings down here? It's like everything changed, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to share on something a little bit different. And that's the reason why I wasn't in a hurry to get up here. I'm not sure how much I've got. So I might just share a lot of stories and then. But it really was in response to two conversations I had with different people, neither of whom are here. And one was a lady on the airplane that Sherry and I talked to. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about relationships and love. And so when Sister Louise got up here. I'm really learning. I have always been a brainiac. You know, I like to read books and think, and that's always been kind of my safety thing. And to learn to flow with the Spirit, you know, that's what the Lord's teaching me. And I'm learning, but, you know, it's just so nice to have the Lord say, yes, you heard me. And so I can be a little bit more confident up here. But I wanted to talk about relationships. Now, I came into the kingdom with walls around me, you wouldn't have believed. Concrete embankments with, you know, machine gun turrets on top. Just dare, yeah. Just dare get close. Just try. And, oh, my God, the people had to deal with me. And I met some of the most loving people to this day when I think back at the people who were willing take that chance with me. And I wouldn't have made it without it, you know. And I came to New Wine Christian Fellowship, the church that I go to now, almost 20 years ago. You know, machine gun still in place. And I came for two reasons. I came for two reasons, and they were equal reasons. They were both as important to me. I went there for deliverance. Someone told me you have demons. And you know what my response was? You know, that means there's hope. There's hope.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know? I didn't know there was hope. And someone said that, and you thought, oh, my God. And so I got all the books, you know, Pigs in the Parlor, and I'm doing mass deliverance on myself and all that and everything. And there's not a lot happening because there's a lot more to this than just taking authority. You have to take authority, but there's a lot more to this. And the second reason I came, it was a church that moved in deliverance. Someone told me about it. I had a friend at that time, and she came running in once, and she goes, I found a church that moves in deliverance. Let's go. And it was like a big adventure, and we packed up and went to this weird church. And we walked in, and I think it was the second time we went. I wish it was the first. It would make a better story. But I think it was the second time. I got to be honest. We walked in, and they're all in a big circle doing this kind of spiritual can-can. And I went, I'm out of here. You know, there's no way I could be that free. But there's something that attracted me. I wanted to be free. I mean, I would have crawled through the Sahara on all fours. I was so miserable. I was so desperate. I wanted to be free. And so I made my way into the little line and kind of, you know. And it was, you know, I remember Randy Jones. I don't know him, but he has the kindest countenance. And if it hadn't been for him, I probably wouldn't have made it in. There's something so gentle about him. I thought, maybe I can trust, you know. So I came in. But the second reason that I got involved in the church had to do with something my pastor told me. there was a newcomer's class, and when you get interested in coming around, he sits down and he tells you what the church is all about. Because he wants you to make the decision based on the vision of the church. You've got to want to be a part of this and agree with the vision, and this is what we're about, and pray about it and see if this is what the Lord has for you. And one of the things he said to me just went through my head and changed the whole way I perceived everything. I wasn't in church up to that time. I had a mentor especially who kept telling me, you need to go to church, and I kept saying, why? You know, my brain couldn't conceive of why that was so important. I was walking with Jesus. Loved him, but I couldn't conceive of that. And so when I went to this newcomer's class to kind of check it out, he said, the kingdom of God is about relationships. Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. The kingdom of God is about relationships. In fact, I couldn't even get my arms around that about relationships. But it was very attractive to me. Because needless to say, when you have walls around you like that, you're lonely. And I remember it's only been maybe this year, very recently, that I got on my knees and I thank the Lord God Almighty for that loneliness because it drove me to Him. It drove me to Him because I was proud. I was, you know, defiant. I was very defiant. And if I could have made it without God, I would have done it. I was pretty determined to, but I couldn't. Thank God. Thank God. He drove me to Him. Out of my need for people, need for relationship. We were not created. God is a Trinity. He, His very being, it illustrates community. It illustrates community. He is about relationship. You know, God is a fountain of life, giving, 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 giving. Satan is a big black hole, taking, 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 taking. And God is a Trinity because He has to have an object with which to give. And He was created. It's just the way He is. And so He created us for relationship. He didn't create us to be alone. And yet, you know it's a fallen creation when the thing we need most is the most difficult thing to do. It is the hardest thing. There's something not right with this picture. We can't live without relationships, but we can live with them. You know, and you know, one of the greatest supernatural acts that ever took place right after Pentecost. And I want to turn there first. In Acts, I think it's chapter 2, and I have to look at my chicken scratchings here. Acts 2. After the Holy Spirit fell, for the first time ever, signs and wonders, tongues of fire, the church is formed. The power of God is so strong on earth that in that church, if you lied, you died. It was so pure. It was so holy. We say we want holiness, people, but we better let Him clean us up first. So verse 44, this is what happened after the Holy Ghost fell. It said, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. That is the work of the Holy Spirit more than anything else. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, is to bring all things together. God desires unity among His believers. He said, if two or more are gathered in His name, He is there. Now, He's not talking about a religious thing where we get together and say, He means to genuinely join together in His name. That's why the power of God's in this place today. It's not because of any theological belief we have. It's because we are gathered here in His name. So He is pleased to be among us. And the most important thing, if you want the anointing and the power, if you want to see the kingdom of God come, is to learn to flow in the love of the Holy Spirit. See, this is not something that we can do. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. But it is His primary work. It is His primary work. Everything else is about bringing us to the place where we can love and be loved. And I can prove it in Scripture. If you'll turn to Matthew. He says, the guy comes to me and says, what is the greatest commandment? Okay, this guy's religious. All right? And he thinks he's pleasing God because he's been keeping the law. All right? So he comes to Jesus and he says, what is the greatest commandment? Okay, and Jesus goes through all this with him. But then he says, The greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says, all the law and the prophets said this. All the laws and the prophets said that. You know what that means? That means basically Jesus is saying this is everything I had to say. I just summed up the whole message of God. And it's condensed down to love God and love your neighbor. And everything else is to bring us to the place where we can love God and love our neighbors. That's all it's about. Matthew 22, thank you. Bless you. Let's go there. I'm really sorry about that, guys. In Matthew 22, here we go, yeah. Down at verse 34, it says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And the reason why the guy asked him this is because he wanted to show off, I think. You know. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. First commandment. Okay. And that's what we've been learning here. You gotta go spend that time with the Lord. It's about Jesus. Jesus first, Jesus last. Jesus. Everything else, it's about Jesus, right? And then, the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I know a lot of people who got the first one down but don't believe the second one. And that's what I wanted to talk about. They'll say they do. They'll say they do. But I'm telling you something, when it comes right down to loving your neighbor. And I don't judge. I don't judge. Love is hard. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. Now, coming here into this place with the love of God here is one thing. But you know something? I have a prophecy for you, something Jesus said. Jesus said, behold, I send you out as lambs into the sheep. It's out there, guys. It's out there. And we can't love out there if we don't receive it here. That's why Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples by your love. We have to come together. That's the reason why I preach church. I preach church. Now, church is not perfect. Church is really not perfect. Church hurts you sometimes. Church disappoints you a lot of the time. The pastor is a human being. I want to make that clear. He is not an exalted man. He is a human being. And he's growing just like you're growing. Right? It's not about that. It's not about coming and receiving from the man. It's not about coming. It's coming and learning the hard work of the kingdom, which is to love. Right? And love is not an ooey-gooey, fuzzy thing. Love is getting hurt and not hurting back. Love is being disappointed and still putting that person first. Having the person not meet your expectations and not putting a wall or rejecting them. And above all, love is about not allowing offenses to build up in your life. And let's turn to Matthew 18. If there's anything that's been drilled into me, it's Matthew 18. And I hate it. I hate it, but I love it. You know what I mean? I love the fruit of it. But walking through it can be difficult. But this is so important, guys. Matthew 18, verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Does it say go tell your prayer partner? Does it say just kind of act like he didn't really hurt you and not say anything? That's what my tendency is. Oh, I forgive him. But down inside of there, there's still that little right? If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. What does that mean? It means unity has been restored. You've regained the brotherhood, the fellowship in the Lord. But if he does not listen, write him off. No. Take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. The inference here is that the two or three people that you take along with you are people who can help the problem, not people to corroborate your story. You know, you need somebody that's mature in the Lord who can say, now, wait a second, you're not seeing this right. Or wait a second, you've got to bring people in who can restore the Lord's order, not people to back you up so you can nail your brother against the wall, okay? And so it would help that they were elders or mature people in the Lord. Okay, bring them in. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. Okay. You notice how the Lord is really trying to keep this offense that's happened to the least amount of people He can? It's just between you and Him. He'd really rather it be settled there, that no one ever know. Right? And then if it goes, it's just a few more people who are mature in the Lord who won't judge Him. But then He has to bring it before the church. But you see, He's trying to protect you. This is not about getting a person. This is about protecting a person and giving that person every chance to repent of a sin. But then He takes it to the church. Now, that is not what anybody wants to happen, but you do have to remove a cancer if the cancer won't change. You know, a little leaven, right, can leaven the whole lump. So if a pastor's doing his job and a person won't repent, you can't let him. You know, somebody with a bad spirit on it can split a church wide open.
Right.
It has to be dealt with. And then it gets even scarier. He says, truly I say to you, and if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him to be as a Gentile and a tax collector. Excommunicate, does that sound very loving? But what is the scripture after that? It says, again, if I say to you, if two or three of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them in the Father in heaven, by the Father in heaven. See, the next verse is where the power of the church is. Right? If you don't deal with the things that cause disunity in the church, then you're not going to have the true unity that brings in the Holy Spirit. Right? And that's what the Lord is after. He is after a place where we are not judging one another secretly, where we're not bitter towards anyone. God wants us to love one another. It is the hard work of the kingdom. This has to take place in the church before you can take it out. Because if you can't come into the church and be refreshed by the Holy Spirit and be filled and to get your mind straight and renewed about what, you know, it's all about, how are you going to go out there and make any difference for the Lord? You'll go out there and you'll be religious, you'll go out there, but you won't be able to do what the Lord has called you to do. And what has the Lord called you to do? He's called you to, let's see if I can, let's look at Luke 6, verse 27. Okay, He's called you to love. Who has He called you to love? It starts there, amen. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Verse 27, Matthew 6. I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to who? Those who hate you. Bless who? Those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. Do you know why God says that? God says that because the chain of evil has to stop someplace.
Amen.
And if it doesn't stop with us, it won't stop.
Amen. That's right.
So when someone gets slapped and they get hurt and bitter, what are they going to do? They're going to slap. What do they say? Hurt people, hurt people. And is this going to go on until somebody says no and chooses to love back and it breaks a chain of evil?
Yeah.
It can go on and work destruction and go down generations and work destructions down generations. When you stand up and turn the other cheek, you're not just changing the destiny of the person that you didn't hate. You're changing your own family line's destiny because you're going to pass a blessing down now instead of that old bitterness.
Amen.
Right? It takes one person saying, no, I will not respond like that. I will respond. I will love. And guys, we can't do it out there if we don't get it here first. You've got to love each other. And when I say love each other, I mean be honest about where you've been hurt. I mean, go to people and say, you've got to bring down the walls. You've got to break it down. You've got to be real. When I first came in, I think one of the first times I ever sat down and got deliverance prayer, one of the ladies asked me, what is your relationship like with your mother? And I said, well, it's been very bad, but it's gotten a lot better. And I think we're... And the lady looked at me and she goes, I think you hate your mother. Well, I didn't know you could say that.
Really?
I didn't know you could say that. I was going, where's the lightning? The lightning's going to hit me. But I said it. I said, I think you're right. And so then the process of truly forgiving my mother and truly pain. We're still, we got to make sure she doesn't get this now. No, she does. But truly forgiving my mother and truly letting the relationship be restored to where I can say now, you know, it's just, there's not all that weird dynamic. You know what I mean? All that weird soul tied, you know, it's just not. She's my friend. She's my friend. I trust her now. And but until I could say I hated her, I could never get to the place where I could truly be restored. You got to be honest, you know. God is not offended or shocked that you're a sinner. I hate to say that. When he finds out that you're a sinner, he doesn't go, oh. You know, God loves sinners. God loves sinners. That's why he loves me. He doesn't love me because I floated in and said hi. You know, he loves me because he sees I'm desperately needy and it breaks his heart. He is a compassionate God. And he meets me in my need. And so when I can go to him and be honest, and I have really, really begun to rely on this a lot because I just really struggle with stuff. There are certain personalities that make me insecure or intimidate me. And you know what my response is? To want to find something wrong with them. You know, to pick them apart. There are just certain things I don't handle. And I just have learned to go to God and said, I'm doing it. I'm doing it, Lord. I don't want to do this, Jesus. You know, obviously I need to grow a lot and be mature. But until then, I really need your spirit on me. I really need accountability because I don't want to fake it. I don't want to walk up there and act like I'm different. But I don't want to stay the same. You know, it's obviously he's showing me my immaturities and the places I need to grow. And the only thing I knew is go to Jesus and say, Lord, help. Here I am. He's so gracious. He is so gracious. And I can't tell you the times that I've gone to him about a person and my husband. You know, went to him about my husband and he puts the whole different perspective in my mind of the way he sees it. And I thought, oh, wow. Changes everything. You know? It's just such a good thing to have a God that you can be real and honest with about these things. And we have to do the same with each other. We have to get to the place where we love each other enough to not have these little subtle hidden judgments. These little ways we pegged people. You know, she's just like that. Or she's one of those. You know those? God, that hurts. Thank Jesus. You. Jesus doesn't like that. That's not the way he is to her. She's his little girl. She's precious to him. She needs some help, maybe. She needs some deliverance, maybe. But you don't peg people. I absolutely hate it when people peg me because everything in me wants to grow. And I know y'all are the same, aren't you? And don't you hate that feeling when somebody boxes you in? And you know what they're seeing is real. It's true. You know? It's like I've gotten to the place the other day. I said, Lord, if anybody judges me, my reaction is I don't blame them. I don't blame them. It's true, right? Doesn't justify it, but I'm not going to act like I'm different, you know? It's not because I've earned the right. It's because I'm your sister, and Jesus died for me. And he's alive and living and working in my life every day, just as he is in yours. And Jesus lives inside of each one of you. And that's such an incredible thing. Such an awesome thing. You're holy people. Holy people. You know, the Ark of the Covenant, it's in there. And we've got to learn to love each other. And love each other enough to speak the truth to each other because I'm not going to grow if you don't come to me in love and tell me what I need to hear. Please come in love. Please come because you're concerned about me, not because I'm bugging you, okay? If I'm bugging you, you go to Jesus. But if you see something and you care about me, come to me, okay? And that's the way it's supposed to be in the kingdom. Now, the foundation of all of this is forgiveness, guys, because we're humans and we get hurt. And I tell you what Dr. Noel shared was really sobering to me because I have so much respect for him. And it's such an easy thing to mask bitterness or to hide feelings of bitterness. And, you know, who did Jesus forgive? On the cross, think about that. He forgave the ones who crucified him, and they weren't repentant. Oh, that's hard, isn't it? And if we pretend like it's not hard, or if we pretend like we don't have to do it, we're going to miss it. It's hard. It drives us to our knees. It makes us grow. But we have to forgive everybody for anything. You just can't have even an inch of bitterness in your life. And you've got to be honest and real about it with God. I mean, I know that some of the reactions I have to people must be rooted in bitterness. So it's like, God, whatever. Whatever you have to do, just rip that out. You know? Rip that out. But it's got to be real. You know, I was talking to, I think it was Tammy this morning, about the one thing about our church moves in deliverance and also community. Chris really believes, he was raised up in Christian community, my pastor. As a young hippie, you know, they did that kind of thing, kind of radical, you know, kind of thing. Got saved out of drugs and everything, but he's always believed that our lives should be shared lives, some way. Doesn't mean it has to be a communal lifestyle, but a community lifestyle, like you feel here, right? You've got to have a community. And, you know, I was talking to Tammy this morning about how our issues, our deliverance issues, our needs are all rooted in mommy and daddy issues, right? Well, how do you get healed from them? You don't just skip. You have to have, God set up the family. The family is ordained from the beginning. This is just the way God did it for whatever reason. He sets up a family. It's a mommy and a daddy and a family. And this is where it's all supposed to take place. And you're supposed to get your identity from your mommy and your daddy. And it's supposed to, you know, you're supposed to walk out of that a secure person ready to produce in the world. And it doesn't happen because sin comes in and it breaks it all down. But it's still got to happen, folks. You can't skip the mommy and daddy thing. You know, you have to go back and deal with it. But that's the reason why it says God places the lonely in families. It says that in the Psalms. I'm not sure which one. But God places the lonely in families. Right? See, the thing about our church that repels more people than I believe personally, even in our deliverance ministry, which is very difficult for people to get a hold of the demon thing, but it's the community thing. It is threatening to people. They can't get it. You know. And I understand that. My chief prayer when I came to church for years was, Lord, nail my feet down. Lord, nail my feet down. Lord, nail my feet down. Oh, Lord, nail, nail, nail. Because everything in me was headed toward the door. Scary. You know, scary to have to face people. I don't know if any of y'all can relate to what I'm saying. But to me, growing up the way I did, facing people, learning to love, having people in my life. You know, it was just scary to me. Mm-hmm. And it's got to be scary to people because they don't make it through. They just can't handle the community thing. And in this American culture, it's gotten to where it's like it's cultish or weird for us to want to live together and to be a family. No, I have my little independent world that is mine and it's sacrosanct. And a man's house is his, you know, castle or kingdom, whatever, right? And this is where I rule and reign, and I'm in control of it. You know, and Jesus is standing out knocking at the door. Well, no, Jesus, I come to you. I come to you on Sundays and Wednesdays. But this is mine, right? And Chris has always said, you know, you're supposed to live in the church and go to the world, not live in the world and come to church. You're supposed to live in the church and go to the world. Or when you go to the world, you won't look any different from them. So the community thing is a very threatening thing. And that tells you something. You know, it tells you something. That's where the anointing is. What drives up the demons in people? What drives up the spirits in people? Everybody looks spiritual when they're alone. Don't they?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you look really good when you're alone, but it's when you're around people that all of a sudden not quite as spiritual anymore, are you? So it's just easier to get rid of them. isn't it? And so, people, that's why this was God's heart. You know, we're all like fish, come in and get cleaned.
Amen.
You know, you're not going to do that by yourself. So I just wanted to send y'all out. That's really all I have. But I just wanted to send y'all out with a commission. Rather than dismissing, I wanted to commission you. Because this is really serious business. Love is going to become a rarer and rarer thing. And we got to keep it alive right here. Right here. This is where it's going to be. I don't know if we know how bad it's going to be, but when I was a new believer, I had a dream, and it was like a terrible hurricane outside, and there was one little shed with a light on, and my church was under it. And the Lord was just telling me, it's going to get bad out there. Stay under your covering. You got to be under a covering, people. I don't know if y'all understand how important it is to have a spiritual covering over you, to be submitted to someone in the Lord. It is so important. Find someone you can submit to. You get the choice. Make sure it's someone that you respect and someone that you can't control. And submit to them. You need their covering. You need their protection. That shed was a spiritual covering because I was submitted to a church. If it hadn't been for that shed, I'd have been swept up with the rest of it. You need that, people. So you need a covering, you need a community, and you need to know that this is serious. And that what it's about, we came here and we learned about the love of God. Did anybody here grow in any way in their understanding of God's love for you?
Amen.
I did. Okay, now, go and love your neighbor.
Thank you,
Jesus. Go and love your enemy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Go and learn to be real. Go and deal with that person that you've been afraid to go deal with. Go and make that relationship right that you've been unwilling to make right. You've got to put actions. It's good to amen here, but you've got to go out there and work it out. Go out and talk to that person you've been afraid of and open up and share your heart. Go out and wash the feet of that person that's been so ugly to you. And seek out the overlooked. Don't forget the overlooked. Don't forget the lonely. Don't forget the shut-ins and the nursing homes and the people that have no one to love them. But you know, that's often easier to do than it is to go to your friend who's hurt you and be honest with them about it, isn't it? But let's do it, okay? Well, let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, God, we just thank you, Jesus, so much for your incredible love. That while we were yet sinners, Jesus, while we hated you and were arrogant and thought we didn't need you, you loved us. Lord, while we mocked you and reviled you, you loved us. And Lord, I pray you would restore the awesome unity of the church, Jesus, so that we can drink deeply, Father, from your love, so that we can go out and turn our cheek and stop the chain of hatred, Lord. And that we'll have the courage, Jesus, to deal with that family member or that friend who's hurt us or who offends us, or that we've put a wall up to, Jesus, or we've written off. Lord, you don't write any of us off. We can't write anybody else off, Jesus. I pray, Father, that you would come, Lord. Jesus, you know, you understand. You became as we were so that you, Lord, could empathize with us. You understand. You're not a distant and far off God. You're a very present God. And Lord, you know what it's like. Nobody was mocked or reviled or hurt more than you, Jesus. And we don't have to pretend with you that it's not easy for us, Father. Thank you that you give us the grace, if we're honest, you understand, that you give us the courage that we need Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would begin to restore, Jesus, restore relationships, Father. I pray right now, Jesus, that where the enemy has gotten in and broken down family relationships, Lord Jesus, especially, where the enemy has gotten in and has built up walls, Lord Jesus, and caused, Father, ground for him to come in, Jesus. Oh, God, I pray right now that you would begin to tear those walls down and break down, Jesus, the enemy's encampment in these relationships, Father. I pray right now that you would speak to each person here who needs, Lord, to take action in some relationship in their life to restore it. Lord, convict them by the power of your Holy Spirit. Show them, Lord Jesus, show them that you said, if we won't forgive, we don't receive forgiveness. Show them, Lord Jesus, that you're serious about us loving. And that we have to go to our brother to love him. We can't love from a distance. Lord, you didn't. You came to us to love us, Jesus. Come, Father. Come by your Spirit right now, Lord. Just pray in each person's heart, Lord, if there's something there, Jesus, that you would expose it and reveal it. And Lord, I just pray. Our sister spoke about joy last night. Oh, Lord, there's such joy in love. There's such joy in restored relationships. There's such joy in seeing relationships mended, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would restore these relationships and bring back, Lord Jesus, joy in relationships that have become a strain to us, that have become difficult for us, Lord. And like our sister Louise said, Lord, you gave her the compassion to love. You gave her that, Jesus. Father, empower us. Give us that, Jesus. You give us that, Jesus. And Lord, I just speak a blessing over every person here. I just speak a blessing, Jesus. Lord, come, put your hand on each person here, Father. Each person here, I want to bless them in the name of Jesus. I want to bless them with a deep, deep knowing in their spirit, Jesus. Not a superficial head knowledge, but a deep, deep knowing in their spirit that you love them, Lord Jesus, so that they can go out and love Jesus. An anointing to bring the kingdom of God wherever they go. I pray for an anointing to where they go, where their feet tread, that they bring the kingdom of God. The mighty kingdom of God, the tender heart of God, the restoring work of the Holy Spirit to restore and make whole what is broken and fallen. Come, Jesus. I commission him. I ask you, Lord, to put your anointing to go with them, Jesus, as sheep into the wolves, like we said, Father, to learn to love and to break the chain of evil in this world. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Lord, we thank you so much for this fellowship time together. Lord, I just want to especially thank you for Patty and her graciousness, just incredibly gracious spirit on that woman, Lord. And making everybody feel comfortable and home and loved and wanted. And I just thank you so much for that, Lord. And I just pray you would bless her. And I pray, Father, for the kitchen and all the acts of love they commit back there for us, just in serving us, Jesus. What a blessing. And I bless each person here. I ask for traveling mercies, Lord, for every person. Put your angels around every person as they travel, Lord Jesus. And I pray that the joy of the Lord would go with them, Lord. That Sister Lucy's joy would go with each person. And they would go out encouraged, Jesus. Encouraged that they know that they can do what you've called them to do.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
That you've empowered them to walk whatever you've called them to walk. And they know in Jesus' name that they can do it. Amen. Yeah, and everything else I forgot. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.